In the name of the one living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus turned to the crowd that was following him and he said, "If anyone come to me and does not hate his father and his mother, wife and children and brothers and sisters and even their own lives, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Luke 14:25-28. When Jesus said this, he was on the road to Jerusalem. And that's the road we'll be following from now on until Christ the King Sunday. The road to Jerusalem. He knew that he was on the way to the cross. But the crowds with him thought differently. They assumed that he was on his way to build an empire. And that's why he spoke to them in these terms. In the most vivid way possible, he told them that anyone who followed him was not on the way to a worldly power and to glory, but must be ready for the loyalty which would sacrifice the dearest things in life, and for a suffering which would be like the agony of a man on the cross. We must not take his words with cold and unimaginable literalness. Eastern language is always as vivid as the human mind can make it. When Jesus tells us to hate our nearest and dearest, he does not mean that literally. He means that no love in life can compare with the love that we must bear for him. As we see in our gospel today, there are many followers of Jesus, but not very many disciples. It's so easy to be a camp follower without being a soldier, or to be a hanger-on in some great work without pulling one's weight. It's one of the supreme handicaps of the church that in it there are so many distant followers of Jesus, but so few disciples. In every sphere of life, a person is called to count the cost. In the introduction to the marriage ceremony, the officiant says, "Marriage is not to be entered into lightly or unadvisedly, but thoughtfully, reverently, and in the fear of God." The husband and wife must count the cost. One person we can look up to who has lived by counting the cost is St. Paul. In today's letter, we see Paul not as an authoritative apostle, but as a prisoner for Christ. He makes his appeal to Philemon, not out of authority, but to sympathy and love. When Onesimus, through Paul, has learned to count the cost. Onesimus was a slave of Philemon, and it's assumed that he stole some money from Philemon to finance his escape. Only later does Paul realize the seriousness of Onesimus' crime. Onesimus has a change of heart after being with Paul and for some time and listening to his preaching. He came to realize the wrong that he had done to Philemon. And Paul appeals to Philemon to accept his slave back as a brother in Christ, and offers to pay whatever Onesimus owes Philemon from his past life. Onesimus had run away, so he must go back and he must face up to the consequences of what he did, accept them, and rise above them. Christianity is never, never an escape. It's always a conquest. Let's move forward about 50 years from the writing of this letter. Ignatius, one of the early church fathers and a Christian martyr, was being led from Antioch to Rome to be executed for his faith. And on his way, he wrote a letter, or a series of letters, which still exists to the churches in Asia Minor. And in a letter to the church at Ephesus, Ignatius has much to say about their wonderful bishop. What was that bishop's name? What was that bishop's name? None other than that of Onesimus. Ignatius writes with the same pun that Paul wrote. He is Onesimus by name and Onesimus by nature, the profitable one for Christ. It's very possible that that runaway slave became the bishop of Ephesus. This very day, September the 4th, 2016, our Roman Catholic friends are canonizing a nun whom we have called a living saint for years. This very day, Mother Teresa of Calcutta is being canonized by Pope Francis. Here is a woman of God who has personified the meaning of counting the cost. Years ago, a young priest had the opportunity to meet Mother Teresa. And on the day of his appointment with her, he went to the convent and was placed in a room where she would meet him. Well, an hour later, she came to the room and warmly greeted him. And then she got down to business. She asked him to come and serve God's holy poor in Calcutta. He told her he could not because of his parish responsibilities. So she suggested that he take a sabbatical so that he could come for 1 year. And when he said he could not, she blessed him, wished him well, and went back to her work. That was that. I guess you could say that he didn't count the cost. This story illustrates just how single-minded Mother Teresa was. God called her to love and care for the poor, and that calling took top priority in her life. She never stopped inviting people to stretch themselves so that they could do extraordinary things for God. It didn't matter if they were rich or poor, powerful or everyday, she wasn't afraid to ask. I got to tell you a little story. I just read it the other day. It was in the Guidepost magazine about Mother Teresa. She and a friend of hers were on an airplane. And when it came time to serve the meal, she refused hers. And she said to her partner, she said, "Tell them to take that back and give a dollar for the meal to our cause, the Sisters of Charity." And he looked at her, and she wants a dollar for the meal. You're supposed to take it back. The waitress, the stewardess in the church, in the plane, goes up to the pilot, and she says to him, she says, "You know, this is what's going on." And he says, "Give her the dollar. Take her meal back." So he says, "How could I sit there and eat my meal after she had gotten a dollar for hers?" So he turned his meal back. And everyone in that plane, 129 people, turned their meals back When they got off the plane on the tarmac, Mother said to him, he says, ask them if we can have the meals. I mean, she just got a dollar a piece for these meals. She's asking for the meals. And so he did. And the CEO was there, and he says, give her the meals. She says, now ask for the truck so we can deliver the meals to our home. She drove the truck. He says, I never had such a wildlife drive in my life. She had a look between the top of the steering wheel and the windshield to see out. They took those meals to the poorest of the poor when they were visiting. Men, women, and children came and received those meals. And then she took the truck back. That's the kind of woman she was. That's the kind of person that she wants us to be. Mother Teresa's mercy was a way of seeing, a way of looking at reality. She once said, we need to be someone for the naked, not only who lack clothing, but who lack mercy. We need to be someone for the destitute, who not only lack a roof over their heads, but who are deprived of having someone who cares, someone to belong to. She goes on to say, at the end of life, we will not be judged by how many diplomas we've received, or how much money we've made, or how great things are that we have done. We will be judged by, from Matthew's gospel, I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was homeless, and you took me in. Hungry not for bread, hungry for love. Naked, not only for clothing, but naked for human dignity and respect. Homeless, not only for the want of a home of bricks, but homeless because of rejection. When Mother Teresa died on September the 5th, 1997, her congregation, the Missionaries of Charity, encompassed 594 homes. I know of three in this country, and I'm sure there are more. There's one in New York, there's one in Washington, D.C., and I think there's one in Norristown. 594 homes in 123 countries. She left behind her more than 3,800 sisters, nearly 380 brothers, 13 priests, and countless co-workers, of which we have one right here in our congregation, all committed to living in her spirit throughout the world. So it is with the Christian life. If we are overwhelmed by the high demands of Christ, we must remember that we are not left to fulfill them alone. Jesus, who calls us to the steep, rough road, will walk with us every step of the way. And Jesus will be there at the end of the road with his arms wide open. Jesus asked each and every one of us to count the cost, to put our trust in him, and follow him to eternity.